From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
How does a musician go from here?
First piece I learned, I think it was...
All the way to here. If you're Henry Butler, you just keep plugging away. It's sounding like yourself. Henry Butler always sounds like Henry Butler, even when he's exploring different musical styles, which he does all the time. He's had a long musical journey with more than the usual twists and turns. He was born in New Orleans. He was blinded in infancy by a childhood illness and brought up in boarding school in Louisiana from age 5 to age 17. There he discovered music and started studying the classics.
I just kept figuring out things, and I realized that I had a pretty good ear. I also realized that I had perfect pitch.
Armed with new skills and a love of music, Henry began to play around with some of the pop tunes of the day, and with his mother's permission, began to play in Louisiana clubs at age 14.
And she prevailed on these older guys to keep watch and make sure I didn't do anything crazy.
Was anybody mentoring you or helping you with this, or were you pretty much picking this stuff up?
I was just picking it out because my piano teachers didn't want to help me with that. They were trying to get me to do more classical stuff. But more and more, I was devoting time quietly to other things. The last classical piece that I actually worked on was the Sonata Pathetique.
It's a good piece.
By Beethoven. Oh, yeah, it kept me working. And it really was the reason why I stopped working on classical music. I mean, it was tough for me, but that wasn't the reason why I stopped. I stopped working on classical music because of the way classical music is laid out for blind people. It's in book form, so that you have to always have, if you're going to sight read, you're going to have your one hand on the music and reading the music while you're playing with the other hand. So essentially for blind people, you have to memorize from the very beginning. That's the way it goes. You have to.
When Henry Butler made that formal decision to switch over from classical music to other styles, especially improvised music, he went everywhere a piano player could go. He studied improvisation with Alvin Batiste at Batiste Jazz Institute in Baton Rouge.
And we used to use this lick all the time. If we couldn't think of anything else, we'd just revert back to that. And we'd also use the pentatonic scale.
Butler started to write his own pieces and try them out with audiences. In some cases, going everywhere just meant going home, to New Orleans, to sit at the feet of the great players there. Butler had a memorable meeting with the great Professor Longhair, the nickname attached to Henry Roland Roy Byrd, whose music blazed the trail for rhythm and blues.
Solo, Duke.
And one thing he told me, he says, you know, if you didn't play the piano so hard, you could move a lot faster.
Also in his hometown, Henry got to know James T. Booker, the player known as the Bayou Maharaja.
Used to say things like, "Oh man, yeah, I like what you're doing now. You're starting to get that energy." You know. And, you know, I understand what he meant. Because it does take a certain kind of energy to play music well.
The result of all this has been Henry Butler's remarkable ability to play any style there is. Blues, boogie-woogie, stride, all with his own slant. Which, as far as he's concerned, is a matter of necessity.
You have to compel the listener to listen. You have to compel the person to be a listener.
In the New Orleans tradition, that's how it's done by the best players.
They still play with passion, and they still play impulsively.
For Butler, impulse is central, which can sometimes mean he follows his impulse to get to a musical place, hardly bothering with how many notes he might lose on the way.
Well, my feeling is, why should I do a conventional run? Everybody, anybody could do that.
It's kind of deliberate, a deliberate mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective.
Ever since I was a kid, I never wanted to sound like anybody else. I mean, I never did. I knew at a certain point that I needed to develop my own language. And I knew it was going to take some hard work. I mean, you don't just automatically have your own unique style. It has to be worked on.
Henry Butler, still working.
I'm not there yet, and I'm not sure that anybody totally gets there.
He's closer than most. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.